Greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience Radio Ministry. It's wonderful to talk to you once again this Sunday. Today we'll continue on the story of Jesus and Nicodemus, but first let us pray. Our Father, we pray for the divine anointing of the Spirit of God to be on this declaration of thy sacred word, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Once again, our text is from John 3, the first few verses where Jesus encounters Nicodemus. It says, Nicodemus came to Jesus by night, and he said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus says unto him, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus said, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. What I ended with last week was the fact that Jesus did not pick up the conversation where Nicodemus left it off, and that, my friend, amongst humankind is considerate, poor etiquette, rudeness, and a bad way to win friends. One thing that you need to get into your heart today is that Jesus never tried to be nice for nicety's sake. He never had this great ambition that most people have, that even most Christians have, is to have a reputation of being wonderful, for being persons who are liked by everybody. This is one of the traps of the devil that so many good Christians fall into. They try to observe the human laws of courtesy, etiquette, and tradition so as not to upset anybody, so as not to lose friends. Dear one, if you're going to be a prisoner of human etiquette and of human courtesy and of human tradition, you will never walk with God, and very likely you'll hardly ever win any soul to Christ. Isn't it a tragedy that thousands of Christians go into eternity every day, and the best that can be said of them at their funeral is that they were nice, they were good neighbors, they were friendly, they never offended or hurt anybody. Friend, but it could not be said of many of them that they ever won a soul to Christ. They never seriously had the courage to meddle with the spiritual needs of another person. History tells us that none of the apostles died as nice men, but all died hated, despised, rejected, but having won many souls to Christ. I want you to know that Jesus' etiquette was the will of God, that Jesus' laws of courtesy were the will of God, that Jesus' tradition was the will of God. That's what he was a prisoner of. So that when Nicodemus started this sweet, respectful little conversation, Master, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do the miracles thou doest except God be with him. Jesus didn't pick up on that conversation at all. Jesus did not even reciprocate and say, Now, I know you also are a wonderful teacher, a successful person, a respected leader, and I appreciate that. No, no, no. Immediately Jesus, in a very brash, straightforward way, said to Nicodemus, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And then Jesus began to control the conversation from this point. And he did not put it to Nicodemus just once that he had to be born again, but he did put it to him the second time, and he put it to him the third time. So that when Nicodemus left, there was only one thing on his mind, and that is the fact that he was not born of God. And that, my friend, never, never left the mind or the heart of Nicodemus in the next 3 years. Because when it comes down to the end of the gospel story, we find Nicodemus a believer and a disciple of Jesus. I don't have any ambition to be liked, to be popular. As a matter of fact, I have a fear of being popular, because Jesus said, "Woe unto you when all men speak well of you, for so they did of the false prophets." I don't want to go down into history as somebody who was a lovely person. I want to go down in history having left something in the hearts and souls of men that will stir at them, that will work within them until they've surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and nothing else. And that requires of me what it required of Jesus: straightforwardness, frankness, and me not allowing others to engage me in long conversations that have no spiritual virtue whatsoever. I am on this earth for Jesus' sake and nothing else. So, if you ever have some extra time, I would suggest that you study the etiquette of the Lord Jesus Christ as you find it in the Gospels, and you'll be very, very surprised. Now then, let us observe the great message that Jesus gave to Nicodemus with his first few words. He said, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." There are two concepts here that are new to us in a study of the Gospel of John. The first one is a concept of the kingdom of God, and the second one is a rebirth without which we cannot possibly enter the kingdom of God. And I'm sorry to say that the Church Universal today has made very little of the kingdom of God and very much of the rebirth. The majority of seminaries and pastors and theologians and churches believe that the kingdom of God is something of the future. But I want you to know, I believe the kingdom of God begins in this life for all followers of our Lord. Of course, the first step that you have to take in order to enter it is to be born again. Now, the proof of the kingdom of God having come to earth already is found in many Bible verses. For example, Jesus, in his opening statement of the Sermon on the Mount, said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." The kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven are synonymous. Jesus did not say, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs shall be the kingdom of heaven," but "theirs is the kingdom of heaven." So the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven is not a matter of the future. It's a matter of the here and now to get into. And if we, after the rebirth, if we come to this point of spiritual poverty, that means of brokenness and humility, the kingdom of God of heaven is ours in the here and now. John the Baptist in Matthew 3 preached, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And in the 4th chapter of Matthew, it says, "From that time, Jesus began to preach and say, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And then we find in Luke 17, Jesus saying, "The kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, Lo here, or Lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you, or is in the midst of you." And then the Apostle Paul says in Romans 14, "The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost." Are you to tell me that I'm going to have to wait for hundreds of years in order to experience righteousness, peace, and joy, which are the major ingredients of the kingdom of God? No, no, no. Paul says the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And when I have the Holy Spirit living, governing my life, then I do have the kingdom of God. So, my friend, we have to be born again in order to become candidates to enter the kingdom of God. And didn't Jesus teach us to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven"? So that tells us God's kingdom is in heaven and God's kingdom is on earth. God's kingdom is possessed by those who are born of God and have come to poverty of spirit, to humility. Yes, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now let me explain this to you from my own personal experience. When I was a young man, I attended the University of Wisconsin in Milwaukee. That means that the University of Wisconsin had a branch in the city of Milwaukee, Wisconsin. The main campus was in the city of Madison, Wisconsin. When I attended that little branch, my friends, there was only one building that the university owned, and only a few hundred students attended at that campus. It was less than half a block in size. But I want to tell you something. Although this university campus was very small, I had all the rights and privileges and blessings and quality of education in that little campus as those students who went to the big campus in Madison, where over 20,000 students were enrolled. And so it is with the kingdom of God. Heaven is the big campus. Heaven has a big enrollment. There are multitudes of saints who've gone before, who are gathered around the throne of God, a multitude which no man can number, of every kindred, nation, and tribe is gathered around the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the main campus. And someday, my friend, I will transfer from here, from this little extension of the kingdom of God on earth, I will transfer to the main campus and be with all my other fellow brothers and sisters in the Lord. Hallelujah. And now you see, that's what I did when I was a young man. I spent 2 years studying at this university extension in Milwaukee, and then the next 2 years I went to the big campus to graduate from there. And I want you to know that all my credits that I got from this little extension were all transferable to the big campus. The Apostle Paul talks about this in his Ephesian letter when he talks about Jesus as one who was raised from the dead and is now sitting at the right hand of God in heavenly places. Well, that's wonderful for Jesus. But what about me? Can I sit in heavenly places too? Or is it just for Jesus? Can I get in on this university of heavenly places? Or is it just for Jesus? Well, in the second chapter of Ephesians, here is this beautiful verse. Paul says, "And God has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." There you are. My friend, once you are born of God, and you've come to humility, you've given up the self-life, you've come to brokenness of heart, yours is the kingdom of heaven, and you'll sit in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, your Lord. Oh yes, you're not on the main campus yet, but you're enrolled. You receive the benefits, the blessings of being a spiritual university student, knowing that all your credits are transferable and all of the goodwill of the main campus of heaven is on your side. Oh, isn't it wonderful, dear ones, that there's something like the rebirth. We cannot educate ourselves into the kingdom of heaven. We can't work ourselves into it. We can't water baptize ourselves into it. We can't get into it by studying the catechism. No, Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." I am Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience Radio Ministry. And let me tell you today, if you have internet, you can look at my website. Get paper and pencil ready, because there are wonderful things on my website and you get better acquainted with me. So here's my website address, www.schulze, that's schulze.org. We'll continue next week with our study of the Gospel of John. In case you would like to visit the Kokomo Christian Fellowship, we meet at 10 o'clock Sunday mornings at 3215 West Judson Road in Kokomo, Indiana.